Thank you. I can hear my granddad calling me abuelito. It was pretty interesting comments that Brother Jerry was speaking this morning, and the song that we just finished. It looks like God always has a plan, and He puts everything together without even knowing. When he was talking about it, the gathering or how it's going to be in those days is I don't have that much understanding about it myself either. I guess we all have our own opinion, but it clearly says in the Book of Mormon, those who endure to the end will be saved. Pretty simple. When my brother is opening the prayers, we worship a holy Father. And, holy is a pretty strong word. I think it has a lot of information behind it, what it holy means. And I think that holy is like something that it deserves so much, starting with respect and honoring and just, obeying or all those things, and those are the things that we have learned from the Holy Scriptures, to be different, to be different from the world, to be different from others, because that's what Christ is asking us, to separate ourselves from the world. Can you imagine if they all obey, if the whole world would do that, it would be a totally different world. But that's something that we have to fight and it's like a process that we have to work on it. And it's a duty, it's a responsibility that we have on our shoulders that Christ give us since he have to go back to his Father, where he is sitting in his right hand. But I believe that from up there is continually watching us, is watching over us, and if we follow up, we follow him and we follow his commandments, he's going to bless us greatly. He's going to open the way as we do what he told us to do. And so, thank you, brother, for those words that are there. When I stand up here, I do it with all my heart. And I think that has a lot to do. Even Brother Jared, when he stands here and teaches us, he does that with all his heart also. That we speak everything, that we answer you all the questions? Probably not. But just the willing that we have to hear it, that means a lot. And that's how we please God. Just by participate, by having that desire to serve him. That's all he wants. The willing to do those things. And that is my desire. A lot of the times I can stand up here and I just don't know what to say, how to go where I need to go. And I can study as much as I can and trying to record it in my head, but it's not going to work out that way. And that's why I a lot of the times come to my brothers and ask them, is this how you feel? Because I feel this way. Is this normal? And they all agree with me. It is normal. And So that kind of gives me a little bit of comfort. But what a desire is for you to come and sit down on the bench and hear a few good words of God instead of doing all the things. Because you can choose. You can choose. You have the freedom to do that. You can choose to either not be here or to be here. Friday, this Friday, and actually through the week, I usually don't, I have like three emails accounts, and I don't check them all. I only check the one from Google, the email. And Brother Placido have asked me if I will preach on Friday, which I saw the email on Thursday or Wednesday, somewhere. And I'm like, well, you know, like I said, I'm not one of those guys that I can put something together real quick and takes me time. But he was counting on someone. And we have heard it many times that pretty much, you know, he's the only one over there. That he's pretty busy. And I'm like, if I don't accept it, I mean, I know he's pretty busy and it's going to be something else he has to come out with, work on it. And so I'm like, I sent him a text back. I'm like, you know, it's only 2 days. You give me a here window and I'm preaching Sunday here in Phoenix. But you know what? I see you Friday. God will provide something for me. And it always does. And it always does. And it is for my surprise. There was, because you can see all the windows who is online and joining you. And there was quite a few people. And there's quite a few people. And I had to open my full screen to see everybody. And that was something. And I'm glad that I accepted. And like I said, God provide. I even cut it short because I have more to say. But I cut it short. And so that's how, you know, without even thinking about it, you know the blessings of God surrounds you. We just don't acknowledge them. A lot of times we can take these things for granted. But, you know, he told us that he always be with us. That is a promise. That is a promise. And the other promise is that you won't be alone. You'll be having a guider who will teach you everything. And that will be the Holy Spirit, who is a gift for everyone, for everyone. And of course, a lot of people don't have the same hope that we have, the same acknowledge that we have. Just like Brother Gordon said, because they don't read the scriptures. We consider myself. We try and do the best to read them and to understand them because, you know, Christ, remember he said, for you is the gift of God has been given to you. Let's take advantage of it. Let's take advantage of it, including myself. Let's take advantage. Because, you know, this world is full of other things that they can lead us to forget. Just like the Brother Jared, for 4 years after receiving the blessings, he forgot to work to come to God until he got approached by God and pretty much, you know, put him in his place. why you haven't come back to me? And a lot of the times we do ask for prayers. And when we receive the blessing, we do forget. And then we just enjoy the blessing. Now, forgetting who we got it from. Because we are here for the grace of God. We are here. You know, every day people die. Every day children, babies are born. It's, every day is something new. But for the blessing that we have, that we are able to wake up and walk around and to be here, that is big. That is big. We are here by his grace. And we need to glorify him and honor him. Because without him, you know, you would think in yourself and your pride, I'm here because I've been fighting for everything. And all I have, I've been fighting for it. I. But without acknowledging that you have that and that and that because God has given it to you, right? Christ told Pilate, you know, the power you have, you didn't receive it from man. You receive it from God. So all those things, we are, as Christians, we acknowledge that and we are grateful to God. The one up there is blind. It's blind. Like I was myself. I was blind. And now I share something here that I was, that God put in my heart. And the reason, and somehow, in my testimony on Wednesday, I was approached by one of my family members, and I was treated in a way that I never thought that I would be. And just for this simple, that I'm a believer, and you know, I don't think just like them. But I noticed that the way that he expressed himself, everybody else thinks the same way. Everybody else, they think the same way. And I don't know how that works. Perhaps they, it has maybe something to do with the our traditions, beliefs, as we were growing up in the Catholic Church. Maybe that's why they all think pretty much the same. This other guy who used to fight with me, asking me questions, and he didn't like my answers. He would get so angry to me. But these last days, he's been treating me different. I haven't found out why. But when I was attacked by this family member, it was just like the same questions, the same thoughts, and I was just thinking, I'm like, wow, these people really don't really know they are lost, and it's their salvation up there, and, you know, it's for everybody, and so it made me think about that. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and I hope about this, and I hope I make sense at the end. So salvation, you know, in John 3:36, it says, he that believe in the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believe not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide on him. Salvation, we have come to the understanding that salvation is more than what we think or what we have learned. But I think that, I believe that, what do you want to be saved from? You know, when at the beginning everything was peaceful and you know, there was no evil in the world. But as the world keeps going, evil just keep increasing to the point that is just unbelievable. And this is the thing, the salvation, it has to do for what is coming ahead of us. Like Brother Jerry said, Revelation is just a whole other thing. I mean, it's just some people that are even afraid to read that book for what it says in there. But you don't have to be afraid. You know, you don't need to be afraid, because we have a lot of promises from God. In the Bible, the Book of Mormon, that we should not be afraid. But that's something that most of these people in this world, they are afraid. They are afraid to die. And it's normal. You know, we're human beings. We're afraid to die. But it will be worse if you die without Christ. That would be the worst. So that's what it made me think about. You know, we need to be looking for salvation. We need to seek salvation. You know, when I start reading or studying, all these thoughts coming to my mind, and I know that God leads you to those thoughts. But it's just so many that you can just continue on adding and adding and adding. My wife, how many slices you have already? Well, I'm like, I'm in 27 slices. That's too many. But I was just kidding. There's only like 20 maybe. But it can be even more than 20, 27. It can be more. Because especially if you have questions. So I'm afraid to what the wrath of God will be. That will be my main concern to seek salvation. We don't even know. We have no idea how it's going to be. You know, a lot of people don't believe that God used your enemies to teach you a lesson. They don't believe that. How can he will do that to us? You know, using my enemies to teach me a lesson. He does. You know, we read a lot in the Old Testament about how the enemy will attack Israel for their things they were doing behind God, for the things they were doing in the temples, for the things that how they were treating his people. He would use enemies to save his people or to teach them a lesson. And that's how I see it. And that was just, who knows what's coming in the end. We're talking about this lake of fire, this place of torment. It has no ending. I don't want to be there. And you don't want your family to be there. So this is what it is, salvation. To me, it will be, everybody might have a different opinion. And I'm glad that, thank you for helping me hooking up this thing, because I'm not really good with this. But you guys know this movie that is up there. It's my favorite movie. I worry about your salvation and stuff. That's who we should be, you know. I worry about you when you come to your family is like treat you in a way that you like, you're just so wrong. That's not how it is. It should not be that way. You know, that was me. You have seen me change, you know. That's who I am, and that's who I believe now. You know, I'm different. But for them, it's so hard to believe that. Instead, they just believe in their traditions and the traditions that we grew up learning. So I thought this is what I was, it came to me when I was arguing with my family members. And it's like, you know, it's like, they don't know about God. They know about God, but they choose not to follow through it. You know, Christ says, you know, follow me. That's what you have to do. You know, pick up your cross and follow me. Oh, well, but let me go do this and that. No, let them do it themselves. You follow me. That's all he wants. We need to follow him. And everything that we have learned from his Holy Scriptures, we need to follow them. Because that's him speaking to us. Every time we read something from the scriptures, he is speaking to us. And we need to follow that. Like I said once, you know, the book of Proverbs, if we follow all those good words, good comments, good advices, is you will have a happy life, no doubt. But we like to get ourselves in trouble. Especially those up there that have been rebels, they just like to get themselves in trouble. But then when they are in that hole, deep down that hole, they want to get out and it's too late. Still, either they don't feel worthy or they just kind of forgot that there's a God up there who is full of mercy and he can forget any sin. You just have to humble yourself. But that's another thing. Humble and pride is just, it's like water and oil. They don't get along. And Acts When Peter here was at I think it was his first time that he was able to speak to the people there. It says, "But be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was set and not at naught are you builders, which is becomes the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation and any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That is, you know, the New Testament. It's just like the Book of Mormon says, you know, it's so clear. The Book of Mormon is so clear to understand what it's saying. You know, the New Testament is pretty much the same. The Old Testament is hard to understand. But Christ says that all you need is Christ. And there won't be no other one or anyone in whom you will be safe. And of course, you know, we don't know what he looks like. When you are a builder, when you work in construction, when you, my dad used to build those foundations of rocks, and he would choose the perfect rock, maybe not the best shape, to put in a corner where he would put this line to make sure that it was level, and from there he would take off and build the foundation of nothing but rocks. And out of this big, huge pile of rocks, he would just go through all of them looking for the perfect one that he was looking for, that he may be able to lay that foundation. And it makes sense right here. But probably he was not the most desired person, but and that person right there, what Peter was saying, is the and whose salvation is. And there's something that we like to, or we need to witness in this world to others, and who you should be saved. Salvation is, it's like protection. Salvation is like being under some umbrella of where you're not going to be harm. It's something that you be protected no matter what. And there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men. These are the words of Peter that he was told to the Jewish people. And in those days, he thought it was just only for the Jewish people, not thinking that these words were pretty much for whoever believed in Christ. And we're going to get to it, but if you guys remember when he visited I think it was Cornelius, the Roman, but that was after the vision that he had. That's when he had the understanding of what's going on here. So the gospel is not just for us, but it's for other people. It's for whoever wants it. For whoever wants, for whoever desires. And Philippians 1:9-21, it says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and my hope." My hope is that I be safe. That is my hope. Yesterday, somebody asked me a question, you know, what is your hope? My hope is that I'm going to be okay no matter what. Either I die or live, I'll be okay. That is my hope because I not longer live myself, but Christ live in me, right? And that will be something really hard for them to understand that. And yesterday we were having dinner with some friends, and she asked me that question. But, and I'm very proud of my wife, because she was able to witness Christ there at the table for them. Hopefully, there was a seed that it may grow, and then maybe will come more questions. So I pray that I may be able, ready to answer. But that's the things that we need to think about, that we should be ready for that. That nothing should be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that is all we have to do. By your acts, by your behaving, they will know, they will be able to see that Christ lives in you. And that is how we're going to inherit this salvation that we desire, this deliverance away from danger, to be saved, to be protected. That is our hope that we have in us. In Acts 16:30-31, it says, "And I brought them out and say, Sir, what must I do to be saved? And they say, Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And if you remember this is when Paul was in jail. And when they were free, as they were praying, they were free by the angel of God, the jailer was worried about what was going to happen to him. So he was asking, how can I be saved? Perhaps he was maybe asking, how can I be saved from what they're going to do to me, because you guys are free? But what Paul was saying, you be saved. The word salvation is more like a spiritual concern. So Paul told the jailer, you must have to be saved. But he was not talking about how to be saved for the Romans or for the governor. He was talking about how to be saved from sin. But the jailer, of course, was afraid about the penalty, about the, for being free. What are they going to do to me? He was worried about how can I be saved. But Paul was able to clarify right there. This is what you must need to do. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That is pretty interesting. So, we read what happened in the first, when God created everything. So why was God angry with Adam and Eve? And we read right here in Genesis 2:15-17, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So Adam had some stuff to do already. He got a task that God told him to do. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of God and of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And we all know what happened. The enemy worked through them, encouraged them, give them a really good words that sound pretty good in their minds, and it totally makes sense. And that's how they were deceived. Adam and Eve have eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that the Lord sent them out of the Garden of Eden into the world. So it's not like he didn't know about work already. I mean, God gave him a task. You need to keep this garden, keep you busy. So he knew about, even before he got kicked out of the garden to work for his sustenance, you know, maybe. And when he was in the garden, he had everything he needed. But once he disobeyed what God told him to not to do, he realized, you know, perhaps that's how work was invented. You had to work for your own things. But when talking about physical condition, you know, a change as a result, the eating of that forbidden fruit. And that's how we fall into the promise of becoming mortal. That we only have this many years to make things better. That is, we don't have that much time. Where is it, 70s, 80s, 100s perhaps? That's plenty time. So, and every day, you know, people ask, where is God or where is Christ? He's supposed to come second. But, you know, he's giving us an opportunity to repent. And the we may be saved. In Genesis, we continue on here on 6, 5 to 7. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And the Lord repented that he had made man and the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy men, and I have created from the face of the earth both men, beasts, and every creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. I have repented for what I did. What did I do? You know, I create something good, and how does it become evil? I'm just going to get rid of them so I have to deal with them. So even God in those days is thinking just like you and I. You know, a lot of times you do something that you end not liking it, and so you end up destroying, get rid of it, sell it, I don't know. This is the way God is thinking right now. You know, remember in the Book of Mormon day when God talked to, you know, to the brother Jerry, he was speaking to him like a friend, like any man speaks to another man. And to the point that he was able to see him, that he was just like a man. So, right here we can see the God do get mad at us. He gets mad at us because we don't listen. Adam and Eve have eaten of the fruit of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what caused him to be who he is. He's God of love. But remember that when you fear God, it's because you love him. It's just like a father. It's just like a father. If we don't listen, we're going to get a little spank. He's going to through our lives, obstacles, they're going to keep appearing that we may continue on the right path. And of course, after God did all this, because he went through what he said, I'm going to destroy everyone. He was mad. And that is why Christ was sent, that we may be able to get back to God. But at this time, he's given us an option. It's for you to decide. I'm not going to do that for you. You're going to decide for yourself. And that is hard to understand. That is hard to understand. And so, man, it will be really hard to make other people understand that, like your family members or friends. I said it once already, but for me, it took me like 2 years, or maybe more, or even more than that, to come to the acknowledge, to come to Christ. After I have saw my wife giving herself to Him, it was hard for me to put away all those worldly things. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He destroyed everything. And then only Noah was safe. And of course, from there, a continuum. But because Noah was doing the right thing, God looked at him, and He had grace for him. He had pity for him. So he found grace in God's eyes. And this is the reason why we are here today. He has given us a second chance to make things right. But not many has the understanding. Their minds is just, it's a worldly mind. So we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. In Romans, how to be saved from death. Romans, it says it pretty clear. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pretty simple. The gift of sin is death. But only through Christ you can be saved. And it made me think about when in Revelation says, when the judgment day come, we are going to be standing small, little, old, young. And that makes me think about it. Perhaps I'm going to be standing somewhere, one of you guys that I know, because we're all going to be standing right there. And we're going to be judged according to our works in this earth. But remember, the only through Jesus Christ, our Lord, will be saved, will be inherit that eternal life. It's pretty simple, right? I hope and pray that we are doing the right thing. Because in my eyes, I look like I'm doing the right thing. But in your eyes, you will see my wrongdoings. And that's how God sees that. He sees our wrongdoings. He can see what's in our hearts, what we're thinking, what we're about to do, what you just did. Hebrews 9:27-28, it says, and it is appointed to men once to die, but after this judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, only once. So don't come to me and say you're going to be resurrected or reincarnated in something else. It's going to happen only one time. And the Book of Mormon explains it that when our spirit separates from the body, it goes back to God who created. That's another thing that is hard for people to understand, that God created you, God gave you the spirit. And once we are separated from this old house, like Brother Huber says, it's going to go back to God again. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that took the look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin and to salvation. You know, Brother Jerry was talking about it this morning, about those things. How much we would like to be part of the first resurrection. You know, perhaps we'll be able to be with him for those 1,000 years. But what about those who will die in that window? They will have to wait. I would like to be part of the first resurrection, but I don't know. That is not for me to decide. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You know, when he was hanging on the cross, he was covering you. You know, when he was walking into the city of Jerusalem and everybody was receiving him with palms and leaves and all that stuff, when he was coming and riding the donkey, they were happy. Perhaps he was not happy because that was the last trip he was going to go into the city just to be crucified for you and I. Thank you, Lord. Because we should be the ones that will be hanging in the cross, not him. And that is something that the thief was next to him clarified to the other one. You know, we did all this and that. We deserve to be up here, but not him. How did he know? I don't know. So, right on the spot, I believe that he was saved because Christ told him, you know, tonight, today, you will be in my kingdom. So you might have a few minutes, a few seconds, or you have years and years and years, but I can tell you that you should make that decision if you haven't made it, to come to Christ. And that's how it is, because we all have for sure, so that make us all law breakers. That's who we are. God sees every evil thing that we do. We break the law all the time. We break, and so, you know, but we have to acknowledge that we come to him and confess with our lips all those things, he will forgive us. But that doesn't give you the freedom to go and do it again. What he told to that lady, you know, the sins are forgetting, but sin no more. Sin no more. So when we partake of the baptism, it's for us to sin no more. You know, so make sure that you want to do that. You either want to be with him or you want to be with the world. What would that make you? His enemy, right? You don't want that. But there's good news. There's good news. Jesus Christ went to the cross and took all the sins that I had committed. And he paid in full so that you and I will be forgiven. He was our substitute. And the good news is that Romans 5:8-9, it says, but God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We shall be saved from the wrath of God. I don't know what that is, what it means, but I don't want to find out. I want God to be easy on me, to go easy on me. I'm a sinner, but I want him to go easy on me. But yet, as we were sinners, Christ died for you and I. How awesome is that? 2 Nephi 13:24. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance. And that's a really good one. And that's what we are called for, to teach repentance. Baptism by water, and then coming the remissions of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then, are you in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life? So it's not done yet, but it's a beginning. You know what Christ says in John 10, my favorite chapter? He is the good shepherd. He is the gate. He is the keeper. We have to go through him. But if you walk through other point, walk, jump over the wall, or trying to get take a shortcut, it's not going to work. That will make you a thief. So by Christ hanging in the cross for all our sins, we cannot pay him that way. And the Book of Mormon explains it pretty good here. You know, and the Bible says before he went up to heaven, he gave us these things to do, to go around the world and teach what he did and baptizing them in the name of Father, the God, and the Holy Ghost. That is our duty. In the Book of Mormon, it teaches that once we baptize ourselves in his name, it's just the beginning. But we have a long way. There is a long way ahead of us. But with him, he will help us to walk through it. 2 Nephi 13:27-30 says, "And now, my beloved brethren, after that you have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I will ask if it's done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have come this far, save it be by the word of Christ." With unshaking faith in him, with unshaking faith, you know, that's when you run into any types of problems and you have all these exciting things, and that is when you start losing the crisis with you. You know, I have anxiety, and I have run into those situations, and I just, when I go through that I feel like I'm having a heart attack, I just go to him. Walk outside and just be by myself and walk alone and just keep praying. And then I think and somehow I have learned how to control it. But if you remember, Rebecca once took me to the hospital. I'm like, I feel so weird taking me to the hospital. I don't know what's going on. That was just anxiety. But I have learned how to control it. But because I have the faith in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, fasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, that says the Father, you should have eternal life. And that is our goal. If we hold on, endure to the end. And that is the freely gift of God that he has for me, for you, for my friends, for whoever wants it, which is the Holy Ghost and the eternal life. Last scriptures. Revelation 22:17. "And whosoever will let him take the water alive freely." Water. What is water? You know, they will be asking you questions. If you take the water that is freely, you should be safe. That's when the explanation comes. 22:1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water alive, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. We, our body, is his throne. Once you accept him, the Holy Ghost lives in you." That's the trust that we've been looking for, you know. And since the Holy Ghost is in you, you won't be having that desire anymore, because as long as we don't, having the Holy Spirit once, you can get rid of it. You can put it away. Because remember, he's the one who's going to lead you and guide you and teach you and, you know, support you and all these things. That was the gift that God, that Christ told his disciples, you're going to receive. And as we have become to Christ, we become part of the house of Israel. And then we have that free gift of the Holy Ghost. They will live in you forever and ever. John 9:13-14, it says, "Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drink of this water that I shall give in him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give in him shall be in him as a well, a water springing into the everlasting life." And that is that we will, you will never be thirsty again. You will never have the desire, the things that will bring you pleasure, because you will not need it anymore. All the things you were looking for is just enough. We're not going to take anything with us out of this world. We're going to be going as we come into this world. So why would you have that desire that when you put in the real thing that you really need? Like it says right here in John, whosoever drink up all these things that you have around it, for one moment you'll be happy, but then you'll be empty again. But if I give you the water that I give you, you shall have no more desires of these things. You shall be full. How awesome is that? That's amazing. And that's how I feel. You know, I do have quite a few desires that I'm like, I would like to have. Not that I need them, but I would like to have. But that I need them? No, I don't. I don't. And I see them in other people that fight so hard to get what they want. But once they have it, okay, what are you going to do with it now? All we need is Christ. Pretty simple. Live life simple. Stay away from the world. Stay away from this. I mean, you see the city that is overflowing with homeless people. Some of them, they don't look really homeless. They just like to be in the street. Why? I just don't know. So that is my sermon for today. Thank you so much for your patience. And I leave you with this nice pictures that I found online. That pretty much says it all, everything I talk about. In Him is life, and in Him we can only be safe. Thank you.